asked Catherine a lot of questions this week. Let me run through them and just read some very interesting comments that we've gotten. I, like most people, have grave concerns over having a cell phone. Currently, I have an iPhone with AT&T. Oh, boy, you've got the worst. and the subscriber says, oh, boy, about the worst combination available. Yes, indeed. I found this article from Chris Martinson's Daily Digest about a possible new black phone. Very exciting. I think some of the things that are going to be happening are lots of different efforts by private individuals and companies to come up with ways of sort of keeping private. And then one of the commentators suggested going back to old technology. Yes, I think that's a very good thing. One of the things I do in terms of appliances, the less digital anything, the better. I know people who have 1950 cars so that they can make sure they have no digital chips or anything in the car. We continue. The solution is to take a step backward in technology. Rather than using the internet, depending solely upon encryption, use a one or a node-to-node type BBS system. Messages are encrypted, compressed, and packed, and sent node-to-node along a dial-up network system. See the WWIV BBS network for an example. With current encryption standards for a message and a simple, I'm not sure I can pronounce this, Diff-Hellman key exchange, the NSA would take a long time to decrypt it, seeing that they first would have to target the phone line in question and tap it. Simple 90s technology to get off the grid and stay under the NSA radar. Okay, let me continue. I've listened to Cliff High describe programming his Android phone and disable the tracking devices in it, but realistically, I'm a 60-year-old woman who's not inclined to learn a programming language just so I can have a secure phone. Do you think the BlackBerry is the answer? I have a BlackBerry. It's true, but do I think it's an answer? No, I don't. I think we're going to need a lot more than that. And you see what happened to BlackBerry, and I think there's an absolute connection between what happened to them and trying to make sure they and their networks are brought into the NSA system. And then the continues, but our main providers are Verizon and AT&T, so doesn't that defeat the purpose? Yes, it does. I'm just stuck on this phone thing and what to do. One thing I do is I leave the phone in the car. I only use it for what's absolutely necessary, and I really just use it as a phone. I don't use it as a smartphone. But that means, of course, I have to grapple with what's going on my laptop. Thanks. I'm sure you'll come up with a creative solution. I think we're all going to be grappling with how we maintain privacy. And to a certain extent, I gave up on privacy a long time ago and just decided I was going to live my life and be impeccable about being compliant with the law and regulations to the extent possible, but simply just live my life. Next question. You commented that the emerging markets were greatly undervalued and that we may have a crash up in the Western markets. In your opinion, should we focus on the Western markets for now? Right now, everything's falling, so I wouldn't necessarily focus on any particular market other than to track it. I think that at some point, we're going to get a bottom in the emerging markets, and at that point, the income levels are so greatly undervalued relative to the Western market that what my expectation is that's going to be extraordinary time to shift investment into the emerging markets. And again, I think some of the divergence is an opportunity for the Western companies to pick things up cheaply, and we're going to be watching that happen. But of course, when something's falling, you don't want to buy in during that period. So we have to see where it shakes out. While I think the long-term fundamentals on the emerging markets are very, very good, I don't underestimate the ability of the markets that are this centralized and this managed to get into a panic and for, some crazy things to happen. So I think you want to be careful and wait, but I do think there's going to be very great opportunities. The place I would focus on the market is not in looking at necessarily North America versus emerging. I would be focused, or developed markets versus emerging, I would be focused on watching the gapping between what I call global 2.0 and 3.0. It's all described in the wrap-up, because I think that's where the divergence is going to be very powerful, And the real opportunities are going to be to find a way to invest early in those aspects of 3.0 that you think really are, have a fundamental economic purpose, as opposed to just believing building the police state, which I think is clearly part of 3.0. But I think watching the divergences between these different markets and between the 2.0 and 3.0 is going to be a very interesting activity and one I'm going to spend a lot of time on in 2014. Next question. The Pope asked his Vatican bankers to meet with him so they can get together and be closer to Jesus. Shortly after meeting with the Pope fires 11 of the Vatican bankers. Would you and Dr. Farrell speculate on this event? I've talked about this a little bit with Dr. Farrell. I think it's clear that we see a Pope re-engineering the entire Vatican hierarchy, and it has very significant implications for the global model. So we speculated about it a little bit, but I think we're going to have to see how things evolve before we have any idea what's really happening. Please comment on the January 28th op-ed piece in the New York Times re a new book arguing that worsening inequality is inevitable outcome of free market capitalism. That is complete and utter bunk. I'm a great believer that markets permit extraordinary optimization in the economic process. If we had had free market capitalism, new technology would have advantaged small business against big corporations, and things would have turned out completely different. We haven't had free market capitalism. We've had, you know, a process that engineered centralization using covert and overt violence. It is the opposite of free market capitalism. Be very aware, or be very wary of anybody who argues that inequality is the result of free market capitalism, because that will be used as an argument to shut off the ability of entrepreneurs and small businesses to use free market capitalism to build family and private equity. That only serves the interests of centralization. So let me just continue reading the comment. Contending that capitalism inherent dynamic propels powerful forces that threaten democratic societies, various remedies are suggested by different eminent economists, all seeming to be unlikely. The piece ends with, quote, his prognosis is extremely bleak. Without what he acknowledges is a politically unrealistic global wealth tax, he sees the United States and the developed world on a path to a degree of inequality that will reach levels likely to cause severe social disruption. I agree with that. That is the trajectory that we're currently on. But that's the trajectory we've been on very clearly since 1994. Again, if you haven't watched the video, Sir James Goldsmith explaining where this is going and the sort of the WTO move, I would encourage you to do it. Can we imagine alternative choices? I really fear that his proposal, global wealth tax, with some presumed more equal distribution and force through more automation, would be paradoxically a way to just control everyone and not eliminate any of the covert transfer of wealth. You got it. That's exactly right. I think the more, one thing we can all do is the more we can bring transparency to what is happening and why, the more it can diffuse the power of central control. But I do think it's contingent on all of us to do everything we can to improve our learning speeds and adapt, because these kinds of things always happen when new technology is upon us. And the more we can diffuse and disperse the benefits of that new technology, the better. Next question. Regarding the depression of the spot price of gold, would it be a means of repatriating Yamashita's gold back to the Chinese? That is, we cannot give you your gold, but we will depress the price while you accumulate the gold. That is until there is no gold left and we go to war. Somewhat simplified. Looking for your comment. Another question on gold that I'll, or let me read all the comments on gold and then I'll answer. As Dr. Farrell would say, now for wild speculation regarding gold in China. We know that China is the largest producer and they are the largest buyer. Could it be that their advances in space technologies brought them into, as Plan GE's CEO comment, China has a respectable economic system, has it brought them into trade-off planet for resources, gold, and human resources? We know that they have built mega unoccupied cities to move their citizens into urban settings as Earth, a manufacturing slave site for the local solar system plus area. Interested in your comment. Dear Catherine, did the powers that be simply allow the price of gold to rise above 1900 an ounce when gold hit its peak, or were market forces so strong that they couldn't hold the price down a lot lower? Do you think that the powers that be can manage the slow burn economy with a great degree of certainty, or is it still possible that everything could implode and totally spin out of control? The reality is we could spend the rest of our lives doing several things, trying to figure out what the real statistics are in terms of the gold inventory available on planet Earth. I've tried several times to get to the bottom of what is the existing inventory, and it is impossible to tell the truth. And part of it is because there's so much gold on the gold on the covert side that's involved in these various pools that have been that were sort of bought up and controlled or manipulated or stashed away at the end of World War II. So the post-World War II gold figures are very hard to determine, and I don't know yet of a reliable way to determine them. So that's number one. But clearly, if you read the article that I published on the gold ETF GLD, it's called Precious Metals Puzzle Palace. You can pick it up on a search or link from the article section of our website. GLD was clearly used as a vehicle to stockpile gold. Now, the question was that stockpiling for the purpose of, stockpiling gold to make a trade or make an investment or, you know, return gold to the Far East? Who knows? But it could have been that. Was it instead done to suppress the price? Who knows? My guess is that there are serious shortages globally in the gold inventories, and that's part of what we're seeing happen now in terms of bringing gold in. Think of this as, as I've said before, a confiscation by market means. But the answers to all of your good questions at the end of the day is we don't know. And that's part of what we have to do. We have to navigate an environment where the swap of the GLD gold out into the Far East is part of some picture we can't see. It's part of a transaction or a fundamental shift that we can't see, or it's simply part of the market manipulation. But again, as I've said before, I think gold is in a primary trend up, but it hasn't been proved out yet, and we need to see that proved in terms of real price. I would say this, the pressure on the leadership globally to convert to an equity model is extreme, and I think there's no way that they're going to encourage or permit the entire global population to put all their money in a metal that sits in a vault as opposed to having it used in productive activities. And so the politics of forcing a system or developing a system that is trustworthy and attractive to investors, that's the challenge that's upon us. So I would be wary to spend too much time trying to figure out the gold story, because at the end of the day, it's impossible to get statistics that I think are reliable. Not to say I don't commend the people who try. I really appreciate their doing them.